The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the center, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening to the doctrine of regeneration. Roman numeral 3, page 2 of our notes. All right, we'll give you opportunity to ensure that you're in fellowship, that is, you're in the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The rebound technique of 1 John 1:9 is the mechanics given to us in fulfillment of this obligation. It puts us in a state of spirituality when we acknowledge our sins known and unknown to God, and we are maintained, sustained in that state until we engage in personal sin again. Rebound, obviously, is a consistency of application that is done repetitively over the believer's life. That's because we all continue to have a sin nature, and it keeps raising its ugly head and trying to throw us for a loop, but we can deal with it just by the grace of God, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where through a grace provision, a simple acknowledgement. We don't have to go out and do penitence or anything like this. All we have to do is be intellectually honest before God, acknowledging our sins, and we are filled with God the Holy Spirit, and the gap has been filled in regards to a relationship with God, and therefore we have the apparatus necessary to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the continued truth of your word, making it available for us here in this geographical location of the world, and that you bless each and every one of us as we continue to seek you and understand your plan, that we do so clearly, and we're able to employ it in regards to our own Christian life to your eternal glory, via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here looking, reviewing the doctrine of regeneration, which is literally the birth of the human spirit, to be born again, the new birth, as it's so referred to, which is a part of our salvation package. In regards to our individuals, it becomes a part of our very nature, our very makeup of existence, as we become trichotomous at the point of faith in Christ, a body, soul, and spirit. And Roman numeral 3 here, it looks at the different nomenclatures that we see for the principle of regeneration, that is, titles or phrases that categorize this new birth. A, as we saw, referred to as being born of God. Born of God, again, it looks to God as the creator of it. In regards to having a relationship with Him, God is spiritual nature, therefore we need to have a spiritual nature. Born again looks at the fact that it is a second aspect of birth that the human experiences, physical birth, and then a new spiritual birth, and is a birth that obviously comes about and provided for us in lieu of losing the human spirit of the human race via our corporate parents, Adam and Eve, and their failure in the garden. So to be born again. C, where we left off, is referred to simply as seed. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed, not of anything involved in human procreation, but of spiritual birth, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. So the new birth looks at providing, if you will, the spiritual genetics to be spiritual in nature, likening our new spiritual condition to birth itself. Also, 1 John 3:9. The one who is born of God keeps on practicing sin in a linear way because his, God's, seed abides in him. A seed is the spiritual essence that has been created as a byproduct of God the Holy Spirit. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. It puts you in a whole different realm of existence with respect to the divine design of the history of mankind for all eternity. The phrase born of spirit, which looks at both the human Holy Spirit and the human spirit, where the human spirit is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. John 3:5, again, primary passage for that in the teaching to Nicodemus. Three, five, six, and eight in the passage there. Christ tells Nicodemus he must be born again, recognizing his spiritual death in unbelief. So Nicodemus, he is a religious man in Israel. He is an unbeliever. And Jesus is evangelizing him. And the way he evangelizes him is fairly unique because it's cryptic. It's a test in regards to Nicodemus' volition as to whether or not he really wants to have a relationship with God. That appearance that he gives to Christ of respect for him in the passage. Now, all this idea in regards to people being saved. Well, Jesus here evangelizes Nicodemus in a cryptic way. And obviously, he recognizes positive volition where it exists. Nicodemus will believe. He'll come to grips in regards to this. And God has different ways to bring people about, to bring their positive volition to surface. And this is how Jesus deals with it. It's just kind of a unique thing in contrast to the funding world Man, if you're not out there and you don't just tell people exactly what they need to do, then it's not going to happen. See? Sit back, relax. Apply doctrine. And apply it to correctly, be at the right time, the right place. That is, being in God's geographical will for your life, under His directive will, opportunity arises. God the Holy Spirit will give you the right words. Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water there is analogous to Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine provides the conception with God the Holy Spirit in regards to producing this birth. In verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And people may be surprised who is in heaven or who is not. as we saw there in verse 5, born of water and Spirit. Another way to describe the new birth. Again, looking at doctrine as essential in the birth process. Obviously, the provision of the gospel. F is referred to as a washing of regeneration. Titus 3:5. He delivered us, saved us, not on the basis of works, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the, if you will, literally, bath of regeneration. Regeneration indicates a new clean slate spiritually before God. And renewing by the Holy Spirit. So the washing of regeneration almost pictures the birth of a new infant and bathing the infant getting the blood and everything off of them, and you have a new, clean wife in front of you, and are they not cute then? It doesn't take long for them to start stinking. It's referred to as the new self or new man. Ephesians 4:24, this in contrast to the old man, our fleshly body. And put on the new self. The new self is the human spirit. It's the new birth, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And also, same type of language, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That being God. It's referred to in terms of like newborn babes in 1 Peter, remembering back there. That harks to the new birth as essential for phase 2 advance. Again, is part of the gap process in tandem with God the Holy Spirit for us to ascertain, discern divine viewpoint and function under the umbrella of righteousness experientially. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. Like infants who need nourishment, so is the human spirit in regards to your volitional desire to utilize it, to get nourishment there spiritually. And that looks obviously at a desire that's long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, and that is phase 2 salvation. And compare 1:3 to that. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. So he feeds off that analogy in regards to our phase 2 advance. Under the terms of the spirit and soul and body being preserved complete. Again, that was 1 Thessalonians 5:23. As part of God's part, He will and does flex His omnipotence, providing preservation in regards to the unity of our trichotomous state and the ultimate preservation. Part of the process is for the body, which occurs at resurrection. But the soul and human spirit are preserved intact and protected from the point of saving faith forward. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16 is a verse that indicates the tandem nature of operation of this human spirit with God the Holy Spirit, the direct correlation between them. The Spirit, God the Holy Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are children of God. And K is referred to as the inner man. As the new self, it is the inner man. It is part of our spiritual dynamics within us. Romans 7:22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, in the human spirit, which is complete harmony in regards to the truth. It is a doctrinal vessel. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man, our flesh, our human body, is decaying, it is heading towards ultimate destruction under death, yet our inner man is in a complete reverse path of existence. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. This based on believers who, under NPR and Communion Spiritual Advance, have this benefit. It does not get old. It gets newer as time goes, if you will. Almost the same concept in regards to our SG3 package. Something that doesn't deteriorate. Something that doesn't ever lose its luster, etc. It's just better and better. Our human spirit is almost presented in the same type of way. Being renewed. Re-energized, if you will. Ephesians 3:16, an energy that is destined to propel it into all eternity. Ephesians 3:16. Verse 14, for this reason I, Paul, bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name, that he would grant you, palsy believers at Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, in our human spirit. Again, seeing the correlation between the two. All right, Roman numeral 4 here addresses characteristics of the regenerate spirit. Virtues, etc., that are ascribed to it. God the Father initiates a new birth via his plan of election. In eternity past, God determined this is the way it's going to be. Let's see. Again, 1 Peter there, chapter 1, verse 3. In regards to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. That's based on his sovereign determination in eternity past that those who would believe in Christ would experience this new birth. They would receive a human spirit. This human spirit, that to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, as it impacts even our own physical existence. And these are the ones who are chosen that he's writing to here in 1 Peter verse 1. Who are chosen? The elect. A term used for the elect or election. So God the Father initiates a new birth via his plan of election, as part of his divine design, his architecting of the plan of salvation for men. B, God the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. Again, John 3:6, what is born of spirit is spirit. So the Father devised the plan, the Holy Spirit carries it out and is the agent to make it happen. See, it occurs at the point of saving faith. Instantaneously, we become new creatures in Christ. 1 John 5:1. A verse that, by the way, new creatures in Christ, the fundies like to use to say, see, if you're not good, then you're not really a believer. Well, the human spirit adequately describes being a new creature in Christ. You're now trichotomous. You have a human spirit. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So the point of salvation is when it occurs, saving faith. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. There is compatible appreciation for all believers as seen in regards to our application towards one another as overt evidence. So it occurs at the point of saving faith among, in the list of many other things. D, it is spiritual in nature, invisible but real. It's not anything that you experience. Again, it's one of those things that if the Bible didn't tell us, we wouldn't know, essentially. There's nothing overtly tangible that we can put our hands on and say, hey, we got a human spirit. But it is real. Just like our soul is real. Compare John 3:8 with 3:6b that gives you the picture of the Holy Spirit moving about as the wind. It's invisible, but it's real. Can't put your finger on it. And obviously, you can feel wind. But in regards to its direction, its movement, etc., as much as the weather, people try to anticipate it, it'll throw them for a loop every time. So it's pictured being like the wind. Pneuma can mean breath, wind. And that pictures that which is spiritual. E, as we saw in 1 Peter 1:23, it is imperishable. It is an entity, part of us, that correlates with our soul as being eternal. Nothing can destroy it apart from God. God's the only thing that can affect the human spirit. People, other aspects of creation cannot touch the spirit any more than it can touch the soul. So it is imperishable, everlasting, not prone to imperfection or deterioration, aging, everything else that our human body otherwise is susceptible to. Again, only believers possess the human spirit. It sets us apart in our makeup from the unbelieving human race. Again, 5:23, 1 Thessalonians describes us as trichotomous versus Matthew 10:28. Do not fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Denoting the two aspects of the unbeliever that will exist in their eternal state. It will be minus a human spirit. So G, it is directly interfaced with the soul, the mechanics. God's got that worked out. As it must exist until we receive a resurrection body being preserved complete. As 1 Thessalonians 5:23 makes clear, the complete preservation looks at the bond of unity of all three parts. So H is creation by God, is ongoing throughout history. As men come to saving faith, God continues to create. Even though the mass of humanity deny His creation. Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10, both of those employ participles in the verb created in those verses, which is an ongoing action in the Greek, which is created in righteousness, devotion of truth, and in the Colossians one there. According to the image of the one who created him, is creating continually with respect to men, believers. So it is a spiritual receipt of Christ's cleansing work on the cross towards sin, providing our salvation. Again, several things occur at the point of salvation. One is that we have plus R imputed to us. It's reckoned to us in our account. That plus R is also transferred into a receipt. That receipt is our human spirit. Again, Titus 3:5 points to that aspect of the human spirit. The salvation is not based on works, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And the washing of regeneration looks at a clean slate, looks at the imputation of plus R. And that's all made possible, or we're given a receipt, if you will, with respect to the human spirit. It is created in righteousness, in the sphere of absolute righteousness. So, the human spirit is one spirit with Christ, based on our union in Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. And that looks at our union in Christ, sharing in likeness with regards to Christ's spirit. The spirit that He sacrificed on the cross so that we could have a human spirit. The plus R of Jesus. Okay, the human spirit is the target for the imputation of plus R as saving faith. Compare Romans 4:5. But the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. L is therefore created possessing God's plus R and is dedicated to the truth, that is Bible doctrine. Again, Ephesians 4:24. And with plus R comes eternal life. John 6:63. Putting the pictures of the puzzle together, the pieces of the puzzle together here to give you the complete picture. In correlation with plus R, you now have the potential for eternal life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. And the first Spirit is with the definite article, that's God the Holy Spirit. The second Spirit is without the definite article, that's emphasis on the human spirit. The New American Standard capitalizing the first one, small letter on the second. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Looking at Jesus' role in regards to us having a human spirit. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, the first Adam, death, as spiritual death, reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, equating righteousness now with eternal life, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Verse 21, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Righteousness is the path. It's the avenue for eternal life to exist through Jesus Christ our Lord. And simply put, it is our passport to heaven. Again, part of the preservation process, preserving our body, soul, and spirit, and comparing that to Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the human spirit, we're in front of God. The Holy Spirit is there testifying on His behalf, and with it, look, we got plus R. We got plus R. And if you don't believe us now, check your book of life. Our name's in it. See. If you want to try to be humorous with God, feel free. I try to get my humor out of the way because I got a feeling I won't be there. But anyway. All right, that's the end of that. No, it's not. I got another page. All right, O. as we've been bringing out, it functions in tandem with God the Holy Spirit. As we saw Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit, point one, and human spirit are in agreement that we are children of God. Two, and again we put these things together and we get this logical picture, this complete picture of the human spirit, that we are told to lay aside the old man, which is our STA. Ephesians 4:22, compare Colossians 3:9, where in those passages we're told to put on the new man, but in conjunction with that, first you got to put off the old man, take him off, and put on the new man, the human spirit. Compare Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10 indicates an experiential function that correlates with isolation of the STA and filling of the Holy Spirit. So the mechanics to put on the new man, put off the old man, the same mechanics to being filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians, that's 1 John 1:9. So P, it is eternal, as we have brought out, and absolute righteous, and therefore immune to the consequences of temporal death. That's the sin nature in essence. It is protected by God the Holy Spirit, by all indication that we see, and the way it's been created and the way it interfaces with us, it is protected in regards to the consequences of our sin nature. Romans 8:10, and if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So we see this contrast of temporal death versus eternal life continuing on, or spiritual life still in place, and that's all made possible by the human spirit for us in the following the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Just as the Holy Spirit indwells all believers, He takes up residence in every cell of our body, and that's for all eternity. So our human spirit, in that fashion, is with us. Your sin does not affect God the Holy Spirit, neither does it affect the human spirit in that part of its function. Only in the filling role of the Holy Spirit, and otherwise putting aside the new man rather than the old man through personal sin. So it's kind of like you shelf it. At that point, when you're out of fellowship, you just shelved it, see. But it's protected. Those little fun things to think about in regards to our spiritual makeup and how these things work. So it's immune to the consequences of temporal death in its essence. Romans 8:10. Q, this allows the human spirit to enjoy fellowship and communication with the Holy Spirit at any time. The believer chooses to place the Holy Spirit in rulership over the real you, the soul, without contaminating its essence when out of fellowship. They're in likeness in that respect. As R, it is said to be renewed, which is our compound verb, anakatos, Kainao, A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-O, to grow up anew. We saw that in Colossians 3:10, also 2 Corinthians 4:16. There, back there, that verse in regards to our outer body decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So set S, this indicates that it continually re-energizes an expression and advances in the benefits eternal life and plus R has to offer. T, that it is devoted to the truth, as brought out in Ephesians 4:24. Bible doctrine is the means by which renewal occurs. That's how you continue to renew it, by getting in fellowship and assimilating the truth of doctrine, Colossians 3:10. So it is the spiritual vessel of the believer that absorbs and records all Bible doctrine the believer embraces in the under the filling of the Holy Spirit in fellowship. Romans 7:22, in regards to Paul stating again, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. So the inner man possesses the knowledge of the law of God, is the idea. Ephesians 3:16. To grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. In the sphere of the inner man. And then 4:23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As it obviously, the interface with the soul has a connection, if you will, in regards to our brain computer in that respect. So it is a spiritual vessel of the believer that absorbs and records all Bible doctrine the believer embraces in fellowship. It's a record. It keeps record along with our soul. See? But the record it has is kind of like the purity of your name being in a book of life. its record is all good. It's the best way I can explain it. But quite honestly, I've come a long ways in understanding the human spirit since I've been here. The new birth is the birth of, as we call in prep school, doctrine man. It is doctrine man. Holding tank for the bank, the drive dedicated for the assimilation of the Bible doctrine, and then recording the application of it, to put it in computer terms. It's a new drive we're given. So the new birth, the human spirit is called Doctrine Man, W. It is the truth of Bible doctrine that provides the conception of the Doctrine Man and stimulates it to grow spiritually. Again, these verses that we continue to refer to, that 1 Peter 1:23, you've been born again not of a seed which is perishable but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. Bible doctrine is directly associated with the seed, with the human spirit. And so its role in that regards, and then Colossians 3:10 again. And have put on a new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. Is it a knowledge according to the image of one who created him? That's Bible doctrine, obviously. X, the natural man cannot comprehend it. The flesh, the FCA. Again, back to John for our example there. Again, we look at the teaching of the doctrine to Nicodemus, who is obviously void of the human spirit, and he's trying to assimilate what Jesus is saying, that spiritual nature, simply through the flesh of his brain computer, apart from having the benefit of the human spirit on his behalf to decipher these things. And we see throughout the lesson, the teaching, Nicodemus' dullness of understanding. It just goes right over his head. John 3:4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Jesus said, "You got to be born again." He's looking at spiritual plane, spiritual matter. And that lost Nicodemus. All I can think is on a human or physical plane. How can he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? These verses document essentially Nicodemus and his failure to comprehend, apprehend the truth, the spiritual realities of the truth under his fleshly state. Nicodemus answered and said to him in verse 9, "How can these things be?" He's at a total loss. You can sit there and people are out of fellowship or unbelievers and try to explain certain aspects of doctrine to them and the fine points that are there. Almost 99.9% of the time it's going to go by them. And you can tell when it's going by them because their eyes start to glaze over. See? And they're not interested because you've lost them. All you're doing is trying to teach us, you know, simple spiritual matters. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things?" Well, that's a chide big time. Verse 12, "If I told you earthly things you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" To be able to put together examples, lessons based on physical realities with insight into spiritual realities. And a mark of an astute believer, one with a frame of reference of doctrine, one who is plugged in, under gap, etc., they see these examples and they're clear, such as in the fashion that Jesus is teaching Nicodemus otherwise. So, it even runs true, I've seen it in regards to believers that good indication they're out of fellowship and you try to use an example to bring up a spiritual parallel and they take it and take your example completely out of context. evidence of regeneration. The evidence of regeneration includes one, okay, we're told we have a new human spirit. Well, what's that evidence? How can we have any tangible proof apart from the Bible telling us? You will find a person who engages in practice of righteousness. The practice of righteousness. That's 1 John 2:29. If you know that he, Christ, is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Who isolates the sin nature. And this is where believers really fail to discern the concept of righteousness. You've got to isolate the sin nature. You've got to operate under God's righteousness. It's not just any little good thing. Unbelievers do good things. And you got to hammer that into people sometimes. Unbelievers do good things. by sets of righteousness that we engage in apart from the rest of the world is our righteousness is under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, isolation of the sin nature, in correlation, in conjunction, in tandem with our human spirit, which is created in righteousness. It's an absolute righteous state, an absolute umbrella, if you will, of operation. That's what sets us apart. The rest of it is nothing but human good, action without honor. And obviously we have our share of that, which will be proven at the Bema Seat in the bonfire. But other than that, we are a continued pursuit of applying in fellowship. And the evidence of the human spirit is this application of doctrine in fellowship. That demands obviously isolation of the STA. Ephesians 4:24, Colossians 3:10, both of those are adamant. The fact that first you've got to put off the old man, put aside the old man. You've got to isolate the sin nature. You've got to get in fellowship and put yourself in a state of experiential righteousness, a state of spirituality, as we would say. And three, one who practices these things, who habitually engages in it, you see it, you definitely distinctly see the evidence in their continuous application towards their fellow brothers and sisters around them, of loving one another. And that's operation divine love for other believers, application of doctrine in fellowship, point three, again, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. It's evidence of that. That's divine love. And again, the emphasis, almost across the board, with a few exceptions, is the love is primarily directed towards one another of the same kind. That's where the majority of the applications should go in that regards, be focused on. Taking care of your own household first. And so, it's divine love for other believers and God. That's John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves a child born of Him. So, it's reciprocal in its expression as it spurs out both to fellow believers, others around us, and God Himself. Newborn Christians should immediately be positive to basic Bible doctrine. In other words, salvation is not designed, the plan of salvation is not designed to stop at saving faith. There's more to it than that, even though most will not be successful in that vein, but either way. A newborn Christian should immediately be positive to basic Bible doctrine, a rebound, a gap, understanding the importance of being in fellowship and apprehending doctrine, salvation phase 1 and 2, spiritual sacrifices, the application of doctrine, etc., to avail themselves of the new man, to make use of it, to take this benefit, to take this new aspect, asset that we now possess as believers and utilize it by divine design. And again, the 1 Peter passage there, 2, here with all the verses in view, therefore putting aside all malice and all guile, verse 1, and hypocrisy, and envy, jealousy, and all slander, verbal sin. Again, you got to put these things aside. They're expressions of the STA. Your STA does not operate in tandem with your human spirit. It's at odds, just like the Holy Spirit is. It's an absolute aspect in regards to application. Like newborn babes, get in fellowship. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's phase 2, a spiritual advance. You've got to have the desire to be in Bible class if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and you have the grace that puts you in touch with a sound and justice ministry. And coming to Him as to a living stone and approaching Christ in service to Him, rejected by men, Christ was, but choice and precious in the sight of God. And I understand if the world is going to reject Christ in His stand for the truth, in His proclamation of it, His witness of it, how much more so, or can you expect it for yourself? See. You also as living stones. That looks to this new seed, the new birth that we now possess, that is eternal in nature, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And the building metaphor in regards to constructing a sound Christian life before God, as our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and home for our human spirit, for a holy priesthood, our service to God, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What makes them spiritual is that you're in fellowship and you're applying Bible doctrine. That makes them spiritual. And it's all emanating as part of the function of your human spirit in tandem with God, the Holy Spirit. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Not everything good is acceptable to God. It must come through the proper agencies in the right format according to divine design. God's picky, and so should we be in regards to our attitude in this respect. He says, this is the way you do it, and this is the way we should expect it for ourselves, and how we should critique and evaluate others around us in that respect. To try to cater to lessen God's directive will for an individual, for rationalization, for harmonious purposes otherwise, is nothing more than a coward's approach in regards to the stand for the truth. Often governed by fear, emotions, things of this nature. And when people capitulate otherwise. This way God says it has to be. This is what He expects. And if you want to glorify God, then you line up. You get in the ranks in a regimented way. Lined up exactly the way He wants you to do it. And you do it. Our conclusion here, regeneration is the imparting of the human spirit to the believer. The creating and giving to the believer, the human spirit. It provides the believer with absolute righteousness and eternal life, and the spiritual essence and nature to interact in agreement with the filling of the Holy Spirit and His indwelling. They both go together. It is part of the gap process. It possesses the essence of all that the believer is spiritually in orientation to the truth of Bible doctrine. E is accomplishment in spirit that will be made manifest in the resurrection body. Again, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope, first and foremost, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for second, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Father, again, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.